One of the biggest sources of the intense emotions in the current political cycle centers on race and ethnicity. Blacks, Muslims, immigrants, and other minority groups have been singled out by some politicians and voters for special vitriol. Civil Arts Company wants to do something about that. The Civic Arts Company is an organization that uses the arts and education to combat social injustice, including racism. This Saturday, it will present award-winning playwright Jamie Pacino's racially charged one-act adaptation of Studs Terkel's book, Race. It's designed specifically for teenagers. Now, joining me in studio is Dr. Terry Weiss, co-founder of Civil Arts Company. Jacqueline Thompson is assistant professor of theater at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and is the director of Race. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Terry, let me begin with you. Fill in our audience, if you will, briefly, albeit, on Terkel's book.
Well, as you know, Studs Terkel was a longshoreman, but he had a good ear for conversation, and he would listen to people and write down their stories as he heard them and make collections of these narratives and subsequently would publish them as books. Later on, he would focus on particular topics. And this particular book, Race, is an example of that. And so what he did was he went out of his way to select people and collect their narratives, record them, and then publish them as a book.
I think a lot of us have gotten a taste of the kind of work that he was doing in writing these books. Recently, some recordings have surfaced that we've all been listening to on NPR,
right,
including the interviews that he did. They're fascinating. Fascinating to listen to and then listen to the people he spoke with then as they react today.
Correct.
So this is the kind of thing we're talking about.
Right. And, for example, in the book Race, the first narrative is his conversation with the mother of Emmett Till. And, of course, that story shows up in the play, and it's extremely powerful.
Emmett Till, of course, victimized and murdered during the Civil War for whistling, I believe, at a white woman in, was it Mississippi?
Right.
Probably, yeah, anyway.
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Jacqueline, how do you take this and make a play out of it?
The adaptation is like snippets and just pieces of those interviews, and it's not in a linear form. It's very abstract, but what the playwright has done a good job of doing is kind of just talking about different themes as far as affirmative action, gentrification, stereotypes, internalized racism. So it's just these flashes, these glimpses of conversation that happen a lot of times not in public. What happens behind closed doors? What are those conversations? What are those thoughts that people are not always transparent about? That's what this piece resonates in me.
What is the format of the play?
It's, again, it's very abstract. It's different beats and moments of, you know, one actor may do a monologue about their experience protesting in the civil rights movement in the 60s. Then it might go to Emmett Till's mother. It might flash to a couple that live in an area that would be considered an urban area in their city and their friends not wanting to come visit. So it's just these little pieces that intertwine to tell the whole story.
Terry, the whole idea of your project in this particular case is aimed at young people, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
As our mission statement suggests, we use arts and education to address issues of social injustice, including racism. We are directing ourselves primarily to middle, junior, and senior high school students, which is why we selected this play. Actually, the playwright adapted the book as a play in two different forms. One is a main stage production for adults, and the other one is specifically for teens. But we chose the one for teens, and we take it around to the schools, and we do so free of charge.
I wanted to bring that up because your performance that we're talking about here specifically is at 3 o'clock at the Lee Auditorium at the History Museum, correct? On Saturday, is it? Yes.
Yes, yes.
On Saturday at 3 o'clock. But then it is going to be taken on the road.
Actually, 2 days later, we're going to be at Central Visual and Performing Arts High School in the St. Louis public school system. On November 7th, Monday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to do a community performance, but the venue is Normandy Senior High School. And then on the 21st, we're going to be at Ladue High School during the day for the students. And right now we're working on the possibility of having students from Normandy High School actually go to Ladue and have the two student bodies observe the play and participate in the post-play discussion together.
Yeah. I want to get to the post-play discussion part of the story, too, because that's an important one. But back to Jacqueline for a moment with regard to challenges you face. I mean, realizing and recognizing that your audience is going to be younger. Mm-hmm. Does that create any particular challenge for you?
It doesn't create a challenge because they need that outlet to express what their experiences are. And a lot of times they don't get that opportunity. When is there a time in school to really flesh out those things or talk about what they see in the media, what they experience in school in their everyday mm-hmm. life? So I think this is a healthy and engaging way to do so.
Well, and putting two groups of students who might not have much exposure to each other
exactly.
is really an important way to accomplish that.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, we come from different experiences, different paradigms. We see things through different lenses. And to hear that and, you know, the goal, and you can't do this in an hour, but you want people to be able to listen and be empathetic and be able to see things through other people's, you know, walk in their shoes or at least listen. So that's the goal.
It's as I understand it, it's a one-act play and it runs about 35 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not very long.
Not very long at all. Not very long at all. It doesn't have a bow in the end. There's not a resolve. It is to keep the conversations going, to start. Hopefully, some students will check their own biases or, again, you know, find where they relate to some of the information in the play. But it's not a wrap-up. It's not a, okay, now we're all healed, kumbaya moment. It's to, you know, again, to reflect and also find where they stand in some of these issues.
Are today's kids ready for this conversation, particularly kids in this community,
oh,
which is seeing so much turmoil?
Yes. And it's always interesting to me when people say, oh, well, they're not ready for that or they shouldn't talk about that. And a lot of these issues fester up because they're not given an outlet and a safe space. And it's really hard to ensure a safe space, of course. But we still don't need to act like there's not this huge elephant in the room, specifically being in St. Louis at this time. I don't think we have the comfort to do that.
What do you think about that, Terry? Are the kids ready?
Yes, absolutely. The kids are ready. They're not only ready; they're able. We know that the children, as young as the age of 6 months, can identify the difference in skin color, so they have the capacity for racial identity. You can't watch television, go to the movies, read books, listen to the news, whatever it is, without seeing these racial problems. And we know that they're key in our own metropolitan area.
You know, in our previous segment, I don't know if you had a chance to hear much of it, we were talking about hate and how much of this animosity, hate, however you want to describe it, is in the air today. I wonder what the impact is likely to be on young people today. It's all around them. It's in television. It's on the radio. It's in their phones. It's in their iPads. It's everywhere. I wonder how disruptive that is to young people today.
I think the more exposed to it they are, the more disruptive it is. If you live in an area where you don't have access to a good education, where you don't have the opportunities for good employment, higher education, access to health care, you live in a food desert, your housing is poor, or maybe you're even homeless. To know that there's another world out there from which you're being excluded is an extremely traumatic thing for those kids, and they need an outlet to express that. And at the same time, on the other side of the fence, people need to recognize that there are people who live in a society that's quite different from their own, and ask themselves, who's responsible for that? Is that fair? Is that just? And what do we need to do to correct it if it's unjust?
Jacqueline, you work with young people, obviously, at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. What are you seeing with regard to these times and the impact it's having on young people? I'm talking about tone.
Yeah. The one thing I can say that I'm very proud of my department for, we do tons of work around social justice. All of our shows have some element of that. We are purposeful and intentional about selecting plays that involve topics like these. We have Theater of the Oppressed training. We had Theater of the Oppressed NYC come in and do some work with our students. So, you know, our goal is to keep the conversations going and empower them and give them the tools to understand all these things and be able to be an agent of change in their everyday life and just be aware. You know, it's real easy to, you know, close your eyes to it, but we're purposeful about not letting that happen.
Terry, back to the conversations that are going to be taking place after the play. I don't mean to diminish the importance of the play, but I'm getting a sense here that the conversations may be just as important or perhaps more so. It's also my understanding that the four actors who are involved in the play have been specifically trained for this part of the presentation. Tell us about that.
Well, this is something that was done. We didn't create this. It's been done in the past. It was done at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. And for those who aren't familiar with the Long Wharf, it's New Haven's version of the Rep here in St. Louis. It's a major theater company. And what they did is what we're planning to do. That is, we're taking this play and we're going around to different schools regardless of the demographics. We think everybody needs to be exposed to this. And what they did at Long Wharf is what we're doing here. The play only has four characters or four actors. They come out at the end of the play and they sit stage front and engage the audience in conversation about what they just saw. And in order to be able to do that, they're trained by the Anti-Defamation League. And you mentioned that Tabari Coleman had been on your show lately.
Yeah.
Well, Tabari is doing the training, and Tabari is actually going to facilitate the post-performance discussion.
Uh-huh. And he's also going to be involved in the dialogue that's taking place at the History Museum that was referred to in our first segment with regard to the panel discussion about
exactly. Right. Yes.
Well, this, Jacqueline, this doesn't involve you at all, or does it somehow?
You mean the piece?
No, the post-play production. I mean, you're the director.
Yeah.
Do you get involved in that part of it at all?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I know, actually, I will be going to the school on Monday. I want to be involved in that discussion. I really am intrigued and just interested in the audience feedback. I'm interested in where they see themselves in these stories. I'm interested in, again, you know, the actors were trained last night, and it was about checking your own biases when you're listening and responding to what this audience is saying to you. And so, yeah, I'm very curious to see what it will bring up.
We've got a minute left.
Okay.
Who are the actors?
Alicia Like, Madeline Boyne, Cassidy Flynn, and Malik Shakur.
All righty. Are you familiar with their work, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. I've been to rehearsal, and we are so fortunate. Jackie's terrific, and boy, she's selected wonderful actors for these parts.
That has got to be a key ingredient. If the actors aren't convincing, as is always the case with important performances, if the actors aren't convincing, it can get lost somehow.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they don't have a connection with the material, and these actors are gracious, and they're focused and engaged in the work.
Well, let's remind folks once again that this is all happening. The Civic Arts Company presents Race by Jamie Pacino this Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Lee Auditorium at the Missouri History Museum. And then the show hits the road, and it's going to be all over the place, apparently. Thank you so much, Terry Weiss, for being with us. Great to see you again, Jacqueline Thompson. Always nice to see you.
Thank you.
Up the good work.
Thank you.
And again, 3 o'clock Saturday at the Lee Auditorium. And I'm Don Marsh, and this is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 K. KWMU.